Usually whenever we have a memorial service, we do it to remember. Remember various facts, various things, various people. But this evening, I'm going to kind of turn it around a little bit. Instead of saying, remember, we're going to say, forget not. But actually, when you really think about it, it's still about remembrance. And in Psalm 103, the psalmist David writes, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, and bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits." I'd like to start out with a question. Maybe it doesn't pertain to all of you here this evening, but at least I think some of you might fit in the same category that I do. How's your forgetter? My forgetter's getting better. Names and faces and places and events slip from my memory easier all the time. I don't have a problem with my forgetter. What I have a problem with is with my rememberer. Someone that I might have known but haven't seen for a long time, and I see them, I suddenly can't recall their name. Or it may be a place, or it may be an event I attended some time ago, I just can't recall. But you know, as I talk to different people, I find that I'm not alone in this problem. Many others experience the same phenomena. And our age isn't the only one that experiences this embarrassing situation. Although I think because of the many things that confront us in our day, it becomes increasingly worse in our time. But you know, even centuries ago, when God dealt with personally and exclusively with the children of Israel, I find that they had the same problem. He had to remind them often to remember and not to forget. You see, the children of Israel, even though they lived thousands of years ago, and even though they lived a simpler, much easier life that was much more uncluttered, they may not have experienced the pressures that you and I do today, still had the same problem. Their forgetter was better than their rememberer. Admittedly, sometimes I believe they forgot God's miracles and God's dealings intentionally. And sometimes it may have been just because it happened years ago, you know, and it became old hat and it's not relevant. And so let's just bypass it. Let's just leave it go. And so God commanded that simple monuments would be set up as reminders so that people would see them and remembered some of the important events that took place in that spot. Now, most of those were just simply some rocks that were set up. No names, just simply a pile of rocks. But there are two times that we have a name put to those rocks. One of those names was Ebenezer. Now, for many years, the only Ebenezer I knew was Ebenezer Scrooge. And I thought that was the only one that was around. But then I read in the scripture and I find that it was the prophet Samuel that set up a rock to remind the children of Israel that they had defeated the Philistines, not by their own power, but by the power of God. And so he set up this rock, anointed it, and he called it Ebenezer. Thus far, God has helped us. Another one was called Jehovah Jireh. It was set up by Abraham after God had told him to sacrifice his son Isaac, and God substituted a ram. Instead of Isaac being slain, it was a ram that was slain. And Jehovah Jireh means God has provided. So those two monuments were distinct and definite, and they could even name them and they could look at them. But some of the others were just simply rocks. But one of the best known was, and it's recorded in Joshua chapter 3, as the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan on a dry riverbed, the Jordan River went back, and the children of Israel were able to go over on dry land. And God told Joshua to select 12 men, one from each tribe, to take up a stone each. And they were not little pebbles, they were rocks. And set up these 12 rocks as a monument of the fact that God himself performed a great miracle at that spot of the Jordan River. It was also to remind him of another crossing, the Red Sea crossing. Egypt, for the deliverance from Egypt, when God sent judgments upon the land of Egypt to convince Pharaoh to leave the children of Israel go. And then the final judgment that would be there, the death of the firstborn, both of human and animals, and how God saved the firstborn of the children of Israel through the sprinkling of the blood. But even there were reminders of all these events. As I stated before, people forgot. A new generation came along, and you know, it's very similar in our time today. A new generation comes along and they don't remember what God did. And the children of Israel were very particular, especially that way. When a new generation came along, they forgot about the fact that God performed miracles past. How he rescued them, how he treated them, how he blessed them. God sent prophets and priests along to try to draw these hard-hearted people back to him again. But they would not. In our scripture lesson, the psalmist David makes yet one more reminder of what the Lord had done for them in the past and what he continued to do for them at that time. You know, the beauty of scripture is that it transcends the centuries, the years, and becomes applicable to us in our day, just the same as it was in the time of David. And you and I can share, in the blessings and benefits just the same as they did. Psalm 103, verse 1 starts out, Lobet den Herrn, meine Seele, und was in mir ist, seinem heiligen Namen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. It doesn't matter whether you say it in the German language, or in the English language, or any other language. The Lord is worthy of praise. First of all, just because of who he is. He is the great I am, the great God, the creator, the sustainer, the supplier, the protector. And we could go on and on and on and speak about all the things that we can think of that God is, and yet we would not exhaust it. And David reminds the children of Israel, and you and I, that it is God that should receive all of our praise and all of our honor because of who he is. And in the second verse, the psalmist David begins to make it more personal. It's not only to be universal, but it makes it personal when he says, and forget not all of his benefits. Now, what's a benefit? I believe a benefit is something that we don't deserve, but we receive. There are many spiritual benefits that you and I receive, and he enumerates some of them in his next few verses. The psalmist David realizes that it is God who gives all of the benefits to all of the people. As a matter of fact, the scripture tells us that he sends the rain on the just and on the unjust, even those that are not deserving. And yet you and I receive many blessings and many benefits. We're not deserving either. After all, what do we deserve? Because of our sinfulness, because of our undoneness, we deserved hell. But we received heaven. In other words, David wants us to praise the Lord for the personal benefits we receive and not to forget them. And so he enumerates some of them. And we want to look at some of those that were enumerated. First of all, in verse 3, he says, forgiveth all thine iniquities. Now, I have stated this many times before, and perhaps you have heard it, but I want to say it again this evening. When we came to the United States, I learned that one of the smallest words has the greatest meaning. A-L-L. That means all. That means all inclusive. Nothing left out. Everything contained. Whenever the apostle or the disciple, whenever David says that he forgave all of our iniquities, means that there is none that is left out. Every iniquity, every sin that a man has ever committed, everything that we have ever done that was against the will of God, he is willing to forgive, and he forgives all of our iniquities. Verse 12 tells us, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us, and he remembers them against us no more. How far is the east from the west? Can it be measured? No. North from the south can be measured. There's a north point, there's a south point. You can measure that distance, but you cannot measure the distance, the east from the west. It's immeasurable. And who can forgive our sins? There is no man that can forgive our sins. No preacher, no priest, no minister can forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins. In Mark chapter 2, verse 7, there's a paralytic that came into the presence of Jesus Christ. And he looked at that paralytic and he said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." All of a sudden, the Pharisees were up in arms. Wait a minute. Only God can forgive sins. That's right. Only God can forgive sins. But Jesus Christ was God. And even though Christ proved to them through miracles, after the Pharisees were upset over the saying, he said, "I'll prove to you that I am God." And he healed that paralytic. And even though he proved to them over and over again, they said that he had no right to forgive sins, and they would not accept him as God. But Jesus Christ is God just the same as God the Father. He stated, "I and my Father are one." And just as God the Father can forgive sins, so can God the Son can forgive sins. But the psalmist is speaking of the Lord Jehovah. When God forgives, whether God the Father, God the Son, he does two things. First of all, as I stated, he said, as far as the east is from the west, So far has he removed our transgressions from us. And secondly, he remembers them against us no more. All of us are going to stand in front of God someday, there to receive the reward or receive condemnation. If our sins have been forgiven, God will never enumerate what all we had done. Now in Revelation chapter 20, it says that the books will be opened and people will be judged according to the books. But if your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, your space is blank. There is nothing written against you. And so whenever the verse says here, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, we can bank on it. All of our sins are forgiven. Secondly, the second benefit is in the same verse, who healeth all thy diseases. So why don't some people get healed? That's a great question. Because if we can't take one scripture out of context, we need to take it all together. It is according to God's will. But he has the power to heal all diseases. Jesus Christ proved that power while he was here upon the earth. There was nothing that ever came into his presence that Jesus Christ could not heal. He opened the eyes of the blind. He opened the mouth of the dumb. The lepers. And one of the scriptures that really thrills my heart. A leper was looked down on as being unclean in the scriptures. And whenever anyone came even close to a leper, he would cry out, unclean, unclean. And they would stay way back. But when a leper came into the presence of Christ, he reached out and he touched him. What compassion that would be. What compassion. Yes, he healeth all our diseases. Maybe they won't be healed here in this earth. But there's a day coming when all diseases will be healed. Brother Art mentioned my dad. Maybe some of you never saw my dad, never knew my dad. My dad only had one leg. He lost his leg in a farming accident when he was 19 years old. But I'm pretty sure when Brother Art saw him, he probably had a burlap bag tied around him, and he drug himself across the field. And he had a hoe, and he hoed his cantaloupes. My daddy's healed now. I'd have no doubt whatsoever that my dad doesn't have two legs up in heaven. He was healed. A person that has cancer doesn't have cancer in heaven. Person that has a limb torn from them is complete. Most of you know that I had a knee replacement. I have a metal knee on my left leg. I won't be taking that along. I'm going to leave that behind. There is no incompleteness in heaven. Everyone will be complete in heaven above. He is the one that heals all of our diseases. The Apostle Paul, we don't know what the ailment was that the Apostle Paul had. But he prayed to the Lord three different times for healing. The Lord didn't want him healed. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. And I believe those who cry out to God for healing And the Lord says, no. I believe they get a double portion of grace to be able to bear what they have. Who redeemeth a life from destruction. He preserved a life from destruction, not only in the physical, but especially in the spiritual. This life is but a vapor that appeareth for a short time and then vanisheth away. Those of you who are older, just like I am this evening, as you think back on the years that have passed, didn't take long, did it? I never imagined that I'd get to be this age. Because my family didn't have longevity. My mother died at 52, my father died at 64. And I'm 76. God has given us extra time. But you know, we're responsible to use it for His honor and glory. No matter how many years you have upon this life, let's use it for Him. We are redeemed for a purpose. He redeemeth thy life from destruction for reason, that you might bring honor and glory to Him. And then He says, He crowns us, He crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. When we think of a crown, it's something that we wear on our head. He gives us much more than we're deserving of. Loving kindness, each and every day, we receive the loving kindness of the Lord. Those things that we don't deserve, we can't even imagine, God gives to us. And how sad it is that so many people out in the world feel that they're deserving of it. They have earned it with their own power. They don't realize that it's God's loving kindness and the tender mercy. Not receiving that which we deserve. Not only in spiritual realm, but certainly in that, but also in the physical food, clothing, and shelter. Oh, we think we're deserving of a beautiful house, of the best of food, of the finest clothing. But what about when your dwelling place is a hut? Or a barrack in a room which approximately is 9 by 12 and 8 people living in it for 6 years. And your food is what you sometimes dig out of a garbage can. Your clothing is what are cast offs from somebody else. Do we count that as a benefit from God? Certainly. Certainly. God still continues to crown us and gives us that which we have need of. So many times, we either take them for granted or feel that by our own power we have acquired them. And yet, if it were not for the mercies of God in providing the necessities, all things would be in vain. who satisfieth their mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. We receive the good things in order that we might have the strength to continue on to serve the Lord. This one, though, I have a little problem with. The latter part of verse 5, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I wonder sometimes, if when the eagles get old, if they get tired, if they get weary, if they experience pain. Seriously, what David might mean is that unless the Lord provides the necessary food, we would have no strength at all. But also in the plan of God, I believe that there is a day coming when these old bodies of ours will be renewed, will become strong, and when we will be just like young eagles. I praise God that there's a promise that tells me that I don't have to live eternally in this body. There's a new body reserved for me, a new body reserved for you. Let's not forget that. Verse 6 says that he executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. There's a lot of oppression going on today, especially for Christians, for the children of God. We in this country still have lots of freedoms, even though, as we listen to the news daily, we find out that slowly they're slipping away. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. The Bible tells us that in the end times, evil will prevail. But there's a day coming when the Lord will make everything right. When he takes over the reins of government, not only in this country, and he will take over this country just the same as every other country, but of the world, when all the injustices ever committed, especially against his children, will be made right. When all oppression, all persecutions, all the hatred, all the killing will be stopped, and peace will prevail over all of the earth. And Jesus will rule as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That will be a wonderful era, unprecedented in the history of mankind, when Jesus returns and sets up his 1,000-year reign called the millennium. When the wolf and the lamb will lay down side by side, when the weapons of war will be melted down into tools of usefulness, and you and I, as children of the great King, will rule and reign with him as co-regents. And then a complete fulfillment of all the benefits that are recorded not only in this scripture, but in all of scripture, will be ours to enjoy. Then we will fully understand what the Apostle Paul was talking about as he recorded in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that which shall be revealed in us. Let's not forget all of his benefits that he has given unto us. And bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, and forget not. I realize there are times when trials and tests come our way, but let's not forget the best for the child of God is still to come. Forget not all of his benefits. May God bless you.